Well, welcome to TSG, another episode, another beautiful guest. Today we have Miss Divine. Thank you so much, first of all, for being a part of TSG today.
Thank you for inviting me.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you so much. I'm doing good. I just woke up not long ago. Which is, I know, very crazy because it's nighttime for you. But I'm doing good, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, that actually is crazy about the time. It's like 9 p.m. over there and it's like 10 a.m. over there, I think. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. But honestly, I'm excited for today because there's so many people have been asking me about this subject, and I'm like, okay, it's going to just be perfect to have a discussion about it with you, because I see you giving advices on your Instagram about it. So why not discuss more about it? But before we move on, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Okay. So I always start with my identity as a child of God. So I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I have given my life to Christ, not from being born in a Christian home, but from deciding myself that I want to live for Christ. That was back in 2013 or something like that. And I am a second born. Okay, I'm a second of my mother's children.
Okay.
I was second child, if that makes sense. And what else do I say? I am a wife. I was born in Congo. I grew up in the UK and I have lived for the past 4 years in Asia. And yeah, I'm also an entrepreneur and I do that full time.
I see that you're doing amazing. You're doing amazing, by the way. It's like, wow, you're doing so many at the same time. So that gives me courage because I also have a skincare line. So I'm like, if she could do it, I could do it.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yes.
There's nothing we can't do.
Exactly. As a Christian, you can also be an entrepreneur. So, you know, it's not impossible. Yep. But today, girl, let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about marriage. You said you're married. How long have you been married for?
Oh my days. And so I have been married for 2 years. Yes, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
2 years and a day. Thank you.
I can feel you have a lot to say. I can already feel that there's a lot to talk about.
It's not a small topic. I tell you, this one is not for children. God, you know what? I have to say, like, you say congratulations, I'm like, because you know what? It's like, can I really accept this congratulations at this mark? At
you know,
mark? You know, hey God.
Because you know, I think our generation, people just see the wedding. They don't see the marriage, you know, because more people are into like my dress, my bridesmaids, the pictures, the reels, the Instagram and TikTok. But we're forgetting that you're completely changing your life. You're entering a new life, because I think us, especially us Congolese people, when someone is about like 25 for 24, you know, my mom was actually telling me today, how's my son-in-law? I prayed so much for him. My mom is like, I fasted and prayed. I'm like, what? You were fasting and prayed? Were you worried I was not going to get married? She's like, no, you know, when you're a young woman, you know, we need you to get married. And it's not bad. I'm like, thanks, mom. But like, you're changing your life. We think as young people, also because of our culture, that you have overcame something. It's like you have achieved something when you get married. It doesn't start. It doesn't stop there. It starts there.
It really does. No, seriously. That's what I say. Like, it's funny you should mention your parents, but like, it's not just our parents, it's also like society. People, there's so much pressure on like young people to get married, and out nowadays I see people getting married as a trend. I'm sorry to say that, and I know that there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people who are really getting married for love or for purpose or for whatever, but there's so much trend.
Right,
like marriage, wedding, I should call it, because wedding day, it just ends at the wedding mark, because you give them, they go into the home, into the marriage, and then when they start tasting the real thing, it ends, right? Because it's just a trend. People are just getting married because everyone's doing it. They're doing, I don't know, right, bride gang, gang, I don't know. And you know, it's I don't know, like, it's so much more than that. And like you say, you're really like, your whole life is changed,
right?
Completely,
right? So, you become a new person, especially like as me. I love my personal space. Like, I like to be alone. Like, I love my me time. Before I got married, I've been married now, like, I think it's 4 years. Yeah, it was actually 4 years last week.
Oh my gosh, congrats, girl.
That's a long time.
Hey, it is.
I'm holding on.
Years, I feel like 4 years is like 10 years.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm still holding on, so we're good, we're still good.
That's amazing. Yeah,
and before actually I got married, I lived by myself for like 6 years, and so I have developed my own personal space, like my own bubble. Like, I like my things to be in one position. I like, so it's just me in my own world. And the way I got married, it was so sudden and quick. Like, he was in France. Both of our church, it's the same church but different comment on dit, les cellules. So the church in Paris came that, well, the church in Toronto, we were having a conference, and so the pastor asked for the choir in France to come and join the choir in Toronto.
Right,
and so we didn't know them, and when they came, and he was the drummer, and I was the,
I see it.
You see, so he was eyeing me, he was looking at me, and it happened the way it happened. And
that's amazing.
Right, and then like this, they only stayed here for 2 weeks, and by the time, and I was so nice to him, I didn't even have marriage in my mind. It wasn't, it was like the last thing in my mind. And then they told us, the pastor told us that it was his birthday, and I'm like, it hurts me when someone celebrates their birthday without their family members. So then I had organized like a dinner with all the choir member for his birthday. I don't know this guy. I never spoken to him.
So I'm like,
okay, we're gonna go for your birthday. And it was so fun, and it touched his heart. And I when we got there, I actually realized this guy is fine. I'm like, il est bon. And then within a week, we started texting, and the guy was supposed to leave to go back in France. And when he was at the airport, that was not even a week, he calls me back, and he's like, je pense que je vais retourner à Toronto. Ma femme est à Toronto.
Big statement.
I was like, okay. And then when he went back, he spoke to his parents, and then the parents, like, it was, that was July, and then let me tell you, by December they sent the note to my parents,
the letter.
So it was so quick. And someone like this, like, when you go through that season where you're like, it's me, myself, and I, I don't like to be around a lot of people. Like, when I'm done work, at the time I was taking the bus, I take the bus, I go home. And then all of the sudden, because you're like, even those people that get married for love, right? You have to be careful. You have to. Don't be taken by your emotions.
No, because you will find out very quickly after getting married. Or even though, even after, actually, I want to say after getting married, because I feel like marriage especially is so combated. Like, it's enemy, because the enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. It doesn't like for the children of God to do things in the right way. So you will find out very quickly after you get married that love is not enough. Love
is not enough. No,
cannot maintain, cannot keep your home. It cannot do, listen.
Yeah.
Even if you marry for love, that thing is not gonna hold your marriage.
Exactly. It was crazy. And that's what I'm like, you know what, we have to be careful. I was like lost in my own emotions. I'm like, oh my god, this guy is so fun. We make such a good couple. That I didn't think a lot of things through. I didn't think about so many things. I didn't oh my gosh, I said yes to this guy, and then we have to share my bedroom. We have to be in the same house 24/7. You're like, you will start figuring out when it's you guys get inside the house. And I remember after celebration, everybody left. And then I'm looking at my mom and my aunt. I'm like, they're leaving. But then my husband's like, yeah, they're going.
Everybody's going.
Yeah. I'm like, so they're not even asking us how we're going to get home?
Yeah, right. That's it. Figure it out.
You know, reality hits. So how did you meet your husband?
Ooh, yeah, so let's talk about quick and fast and unexpected.
My
story. My story is pretty, I wouldn't say not terribly similar, but it's similar in some ways, like to yours. So like I mentioned, 4 years ago I moved to China. I moved to Asia because you know, God told me to move. God told me it's time for me to leave my life behind in Europe and do something different.
Nice.
And that's even a whole testimony in itself, like how I got to come here. Because, you know, I was living quite comfortably back in Europe. I had, you know, I had my job. I was working as an accountant for like a property company. And I was, you know, I had a relationship. I had a house. I was, you know what, when our parents talk about Kogoli settling down, like you settled down. Like I went to school, I went to uni, I graduated, I finished school, I got a job, I met a guy, I got a house. That was my life.
Wow.
Like, I was really settled down. But you know, like the Bible says that God's plans are better, God's ways are better than ours. Like His thoughts are better than ours. And it's like, even when I thought that, oh phew, I've done it now, I've ticked all the settling down boxes, I hadn't. And God said to me, you know, like my purpose and the person with whom I was, and the kind of environment I was in, I wasn't gonna fulfill my purpose there. And he was saying to me, you need to go, like you need to change your life, you need to make a big change with your life. And I knew deep down in my heart he was definitely talking about my relationship with my, you know, my ex at the time, even though he was a really good guy, but God was like, but he's not the guy, you know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Wow.
And God was saying to me, you know, change your life, change the whole direction of your life. Like, and when I ended the relationship, because I thought that that's what God was talking about, he was like, I want you to go further. Like, I'm saying change, like change, change, you know? And he's like, you mean I gotta quit my job? And so, you know, I prayed for God to give me direction. And I said, you know what, I've ended this relationship now. I'm not really sure what to do, because I had just, like I said, graduated, got my job, and I was settled. Like, this was the only life that I knew after graduating. So I didn't know what else to do. And within a week, God sent someone with this job opportunity here in China. And I thought it was too coincidental for it not to be God's response to my prayer. Like, I was, I prayed for God to show me what to do, where to go. And then boom, here we go. So anyways, China. And I think I moved to China on the 27th of February 2019. That's when I left the UK. And I arrived to China on the 28th, and so, I struggled to settle down, and it was really, really hard for me, like, because, like I said, I had such a comfortable life in the UK, and in the beginning, I still didn't really know what God was telling me to come here for. Like, I had no need to come here. It wasn't like I was coming here for a better job. No, I was taking a pay cut on my the job that I was actually currently doing back home. My house, I was living in a three-bedroom house with a huge backyard and a huge front yard. Then I moved to China to live in a small studio. And I was like, why am I here? What am I doing here? Why are you spending it? You know, those first few, like, couple of months were really, really difficult. And so I'm telling this story to tell you, I know it's
No, go ahead. That is amazing because leaving that and going where you went, you must be obedient to the to the Holy Spirit.
Girl, I tell you, obedience is some of the hardest things that we have to do as Christians. Let me tell you. I was watching a video the other day and he said, you know what God's love language is obedience. And I was like, oh my God.
Wow. Amen. God, that is it.
God's
love
language, it truly is obedience. Because as hard as it is to obey God, it really has its, like, benefits, man.
Exactly. Yes.
And
it does.
So sweet. It's so sweet. It's so sweet.
Worth it.
Anyways, yeah, I digress. So I moved to China and in March, so 6 weeks after I moved to China, I didn't like my job. I didn't know what I was doing. I found my job quite hard. Because I struggled transitioning from accounting and numbers and talking with, like, grown-up clients that are business people and investors to teaching children, like 3-year-old babies or 4-year-old babies. That was a transition. I was like, what is this? And I had to plan lessons. I was like, I don't know how to plan a lesson. What am I doing? Like, a 40-minute lesson, for me to plan a 40-minute lesson, it took me 5 hours. And for me to plan a 1.5-hour lesson, it took me a whole day.
And
so I struggled a lot. So I used to take my laptop and go to, like, little cafes in the city to plan, because I found that I didn't have a life. Not only did the job take all of my time, but, like, the 2 days off I had in the week, which was, like, Wednesday and Thursday, I worked the weekend, but my weekend, as they called it, you know, quote, it was Wednesday, Thursday. So instead of being, like, in my little apartment, like, studio room that was, like, so depressing and alone, and I was just like, I hated it. I used to cry all the time. I decided, you know what? Make the best of the situation. Take my computer, go outside and plan my lessons. And that's how I started going out with my friends who will maybe meet up for lunch, and then they'll go have fun and I'll be like, I have to work. And this one day I just sat there working. I think I met my friends, we had lunch, and then they were like, oh, we're gonna go on, have, like, drinks or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I wish. I have to work. So I stayed at the restaurant, the cafe where we had lunch.
Girl, don't tell me that's how you met your husband.
That's exactly how I met him.
Oh my gosh,
we were back of the restaurant eating lunch, because it was a nice, beautiful April, and you know what, spring in this country is hot. Like, coming from the UK, to me that was summer. It was summer. I had, like, flip-flops on, you know, I had, listen, and I was looking good. I had
that's
my
the
hair
key
done,
that's the key,
my makeup done. I was Come complete on. That day. And I remember, because I was still new in the city, I was documenting my whole day. I was like, okay, this is me walking to my lunch spot. Not knowing that a few hours from that I would meet the man with whom I would spend the rest of my life, you know. And so we sat at the back and they all left, and I was like, you know what, I need to go inside the restaurant for
Wi-Fi connection.
Girl,
this is so romantic.
And I sat there and I'm working. I'm like, oh, this is so hard, and it's taking me so long to plan this one lesson. Anyway, from, like, from the corner of my eye, I see this very tall person walking in. But I was sitting with my back to the door, so I couldn't see him walking, but I could see him emerging from the entrance. And I was like working, but looking, I was like, oh my God, he's black. Because up until this point, I hadn't seen many black people in Beijing, like in the city that I live. Like I worked with like a couple of black boys, but like, you know, but outside of work, all I saw was Chinese people. I was like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so surprised to see a black person, and he was so tall, and I couldn't see his face because he had like his hoodie on, he had his mask on, and he was dressed all in black, and he had like a bag, like a backpack on. All I know that he was black, and he was tall, and I was like, okay, anyways, get back to work. And that's like, you know, then he walks in and he's like, obviously goes there to get his food. But this is the craziest thing. As I was sitting down doing my work, there was a girl sitting opposite me. She was a Chinese girl. And as he walked in, this girl was like, oh, hey. She waves at him like this. And, you know, I guess at that moment, I was like, oh, they know each other. And he then came to sit next to that girl. And they start talking, and she's all like hugging him and stuff. Oh my God, nah, nah, nah. I'm like, okay, none of your business, mind your business.
Now you're trying to get distracted now.
Yeah, I'm like, mind your business. Like, I'm doing my work. And at this point, I was like, you don't know this guy. You have no business listening to their conversation. And they're chatting, and I'm just doing my work. Because, you know, this is like a public cafe. a long bench, and I'm sitting on this side and she's sitting on that side. It's quite a wide bench, so we're not very close, but she's over there, and they're all chatting. And then I remember she gets up and goes to wherever, she goes to the toilet or wherever, and then he starts to speak to me like, hey, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, hi.
Okay.
And then yes, and then she comes back, and then now we're all talking, all three of us. Crazy, right? Because I sat opposite that girl for like an hour or something, and we didn't speak. And as soon as he came, he started talking to me, and then we all start talking together. Turns out she is a dancer. She dances salsa, she dances partner dances, and I too dance partner dances. Like, I dance kizomba, which is a partner dance, and I was looking for where to go because I had just moved and I didn't have a community or anything. So she invites me. She's like, why don't you come out tonight? It's a Wednesday night, we dance salsa. And then she also invites him.
Oh boy.
Because they know each other, you get me, sir.
Oh boy.
Oh man. So anyways, they come, he says, okay, cool, I'll see. And I'm like, I'm definitely gonna be there because I have no life, I have no friends, I definitely need to go.
at this point
I'll go anyway. So anyways, I get there, I you know, I ready myself and go, and then he turns up. We spend the whole night talking, just me and him.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm dancing, like, you know, here and there, but like the guy basically really just came to hang out with me. We just sat there, talked, and got a couple drinks and just talked. 2 a.m. I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go home. And I never stopped seeing him from that day.
Wow. Like, so you guys kept seeing each other out every single day?
Yes, we hung out. I remember we went for, after that day, we had talking about this just the other day, like, when was the first time we hung out after the first time we met? I think it was only a couple of days after that, and he was like, hey, I can show you the city. And he took me different places. We went to the zoo, we went to like his favorite restaurant, and like he showed me different places. And I was like, this is literally the only friend I have. He was even more my friend than the girl who had invited me. So that's how I met him. But like, we didn't date. Right, this is the part that gets crazy, because
you guys went straight to marriage.
Yeah, well, yes, we did, but also like I didn't want to commit to him in relationship because I believed in my soul that God did not bring me to China for marriage or a relationship. Right. I was convinced that God brought me to China just for a fresh, I was going through so much. in my last relationship, and I, like, God was like, just go for a change. But I didn't, I was like, no. And also I had in my mind that because of my ex relationship, I believed that God would bring me like a minister, you know, like
a husband. A pastor.
Oh, God.
A man of God.
I was like, yes. Girl, because I was like, listen, my ex was a nice man. He was a good man. He had a good heart. But he wasn't a Christian. He didn't live for God. And it was so difficult to explain it to the world because everyone was like, Devine, you're crazy. How are you breaking up with this man who he loves you? He's gorgeous. You look good together. He wants to settle down with you. I'm like, yeah, but it's purpose. There's this thing called purpose.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's this thing called God's will. There's this thing called
that, because that's gonna be your partner, like your part, your destiny partner.
Yeah. So I couldn't do it, and so when I met him, and from conversation with him, it came to me as that he hasn't been to church in a long time. He doesn't really vibe with church people. You know, after a while, I discerned it as trauma from church. He's had church hurt, and he's made him recreate, you know, take himself out of the church or whatever. But like at the time, because my mind was so small, I was like, nope, I don't want to date anybody that doesn't believe in God or doesn't go to church, that doesn't pray, that doesn't read the Bible. I don't want. I believe that my husband is going to be a man of God.
Right.
You know, I told him straight, like, I was like, you know what, you're a nice guy, but you're not my husband. I used to say this to him. I used to say, I'm so sorry, you're not my husband. This is just not, you know, this is just not what I'm here for. I'm leaving. I'm not for like a year. And at that time, I didn't like it so much. I decided I'm only staying in this country for 10 months. When it's December, when December comes, I'm going back home for my birthday, and I'm not coming back again.
Okay. So
I was convinced that what's the point of getting in a relationship when I'm just leaving? Like, I felt like, no, my contract is for a year. God didn't bring me here for a relationship. I'm not even going to try it, because what I don't want is to get in something, catch feelings, or even start to like walk away from my commitment to God. Like, I'm abstaining, and I'm not doing any, do you know what? I just saw the worst. I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. And we were friends. We stayed friends for 9 months. 9 months. Whereby he was consistently pursuing me, and I was consistently saying no.
Rejecting.
Even though we did spend so much time together that it was impossible for me to deny that I had developed feelings for him, you know. And it was so hard for me to say, like, yeah, I didn't like you, but yeah, you know, it was very evident that we had both grown very, very, very fond of each other, but I was still maintaining that I'm willing to close my eyes to the feeling of love that I feel for you and still leave and still go back to Europe. Because I was like, I feel like it's just my flesh. I feel like it's not God's will. So, you know, and so we were friends for those 9 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is so crazy, because your story is literally like my story, you know. And I think that's why sometimes, that's why you said God's love language is obedience. And that is so true. And just the fact that you were able to say, yes, God, yes, Lord, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna make this move. Even if in your head you had like this contract in your mind, but he just needed you to first say yes. And that's how sometimes we fall into traps and we fall into confusion in our lives, because God doesn't need you to plan anything. He just needs you to say, yes, God, yes, I will obey and I will go, and he will do the rest. And concerning like finding the man, it's not like it's not for children. Because right now, like hearing your story, you have to be spiritually mature to be able to discern certain things. Like you said, your ex was a good guy. He had a good heart. And that's the same thing that happened to me. Like before my husband, I met a guy. He was just a sweetheart. He, like, the definition of what I wanted for myself, it was him. But there's always one thing, like that one red flag, like you can't pass by. And for me, it was alcohol. Like, he's a Christian and everything, like the way I wanted it. He has a good heart, he loves family, he loves to share and all of that, like a whole package. But he was drinking alcohol, not like wine. Like, he would drink and get drunk. And
liquor, yeah.
Right. And knowing my testimony, like my past, as when I was in depression, I used alcohol a lot to like cover up things. And when I got out of it, I told God, I don't want anything, like take anybody that has alcohol, like anything that could bring this back in my life for now. Just take it away. And in the beginning, you know, like you get into a relationship, but you just have to pay attention. That's what I was telling you earlier. I said, like, even when you meet someone, you're madly in love with that person, like get back down on earth and begin to ask yourself certain questions and examine the situation and pray about the situation, because he had everything, you know, but it was that one thing. And I was trying to brush it off. I'm like, you know what, you know, when we get married, I'm gonna tell him to stop, and I'm gonna teach him that. You can't do that. You can't change somebody.
Yeah, you can't. You definitely cannot change someone. And that's true. Like, God spoke to me about that as well, because for me, it was the exact same reasoning. Like, oh, like, you know, I can make him come to church with me.
Right.
I can make him... No, God told me, who do you think you are that I should change someone for you? No.
Because you already have your person that he already has.
Exactly. Thank you. God told me that people change for me. They don't change for other people.
Right.
You know, and God said to me, if I was to change him for you after you left, he's not gonna stay that way. So therefore he's not gonna change. I'm not gonna change him for you, because if you leave, then he'll go back to his old way. But if he changes for me, whether whoever comes and goes out of his life, the same thing. And I was like, oh my God.
That's so powerful.
I hear that. And I was like, you know what? I am nobody for God's time to run by my time.
Exactly.
And I was like, I really believe that God will touch people in his own time, and he will do the work in their heart in his own time. And so for me, I had to stop praying, God change my partner, God make him different, God make him. No, I was like, no, you know what? God, you know the partner that I need.
Exactly.
You know the husband that I need. That's the one you should send to me. That's it.
Exactly. And that's why you have now the other side of the story, which is like the man that God had. This is crazy. Like, this is it. Like, this is the person for you. But then you're overthinking again. You're like, oh, what if? Or, no, God said. This is crazy.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, actually, during the whole time where I was with my now husband, then friend, I never actually even prayed about it. I never went to God like, God, is this him? No, I had decided, me, myself, I made up my mind that this is not God's will. Can you imagine? And it's like, it's coming from me, a person who has seen God's, like, direction, the way God can really, like, for me, I say to people, I pray to God to show me something. Without a doubt, he really shows it to me, because I've seen it so many times. When I go down on my knees and say, God, I need you to show me this, I need you to tell me yes or no, he really does. And I sit down and I think back to my relationship with my husband. Like, when we first started, how come I never prayed about it? How come I didn't ask God? I just did not ask God. I just did it. I just decided for God. I just said, no, this is, you're not the one.
Right.
God is not, you know what I mean? And it's crazy. Like, it encourages me to really take everything to God. Like, before every decision, before everything, just go ask him. He will speak to you. He really will.
he speaks to his children. Yeah. Okay, your story is so juicy. I want to know next. So how did it happen? Like, how did y'all get married? How did you know that he was the one? So tell us the next step, please. Before we go deep into the things.
Yeah. I really love this story. Because even for me, I love it. I feel like, oh my God, this is like a movie. And I swear one day,
I will put this
in a movie or a book. But yeah, so 9 months of friendship. And I was adamant that I was going back to Europe, to the point where I had my ticket booked.
Wow.
yeah, because remember, I'm from the UK, but I had plans to go live in France for a bit because of like my singing and stuff. I had a lot happening at that time back in 2019. I had a lot of like new friendships like developing in the Congolese music circle in France and Belgium and Switzerland, all those areas. So anyways, I was like, yeah, the next best step for me is to go live in France and like see what I can pursue with my music. And I had booked my flight. I had arranged my everything. So we all knew that I was leaving China. The actual date was supposed to be in February. So I had changed my mind by that point about my job. I actually started liking my job because it became easier. And I fell in love with teaching children. I was like, oh my gosh, I really love the babies. They're so cute. Anyways, but I still had to go. So I was like, okay, I won't leave in 10 months. I will do my contract. I will finish my contract. And booked my ticket for February 2020. And so come to December 2019, now at this point, I've been hanging out with this man from April 2019, and it's like December, like, let me go back a little bit. What happened was, in September 2019, remember I told you I used to live in a little studio, so I really needed to move out of that space because I wasn't able to sing there. I struggled to make like my singing videos that you see on Instagram. When I lived in that little apartment, every little noise that I made, people would bang on my door, and it used to make me feel so depressed because you remember, I have no friends. I don't have my church. I don't have anything. Only thing I can do is sing for God. And even that I couldn't do. And I ended up having to record like at the park and things. Anyway, so I told him, I was like, I'm really struggling. Like, I need to record my videos. And he said to me, you know what? You can come and record at my house. Like, my neighbors don't complain. I have, I have a big space. Bring your equipment, set up your camera, do your singing, and then go. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, like, it's fine. This is when we're still friends. I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. Like, you don't understand how I feel so fulfilled and happy and close to, and I can just do this little video. To me, I was like, that's already helping me to live in my purpose. Like, God made me to sing. Like, if I can't sing, I really don't feel like myself. So that already I love. So I used to come here, I hit through his house to make videos and post it on Instagram. Like, there's a few videos on my Instagram. I don't know if you see, like, you ever saw the video where I'm singing my Kalambai song.
Was it the one? Is it the one you were wearing? I think you were wearing a hoodie.
No, I don't think so. I remember because I feel like the videos with the hoodie, that's why I was still back in Europe. But there was like a few videos where I had filmed right here in his house when we were still friends. So anyway, my contract came up at that house and I had to move out in September 2019. And he was like, listen, I'm telling you this as a friend and there's no strings attached. Spare room in my apartment, you can rent it. I was like, no. I was like, you think I'm stupid? I am not doing that. I was like, I know how this goes. If I'm I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Anyways, did I find another place? No. I struggled so hard, like, to find, and you know, like, I was still sort of new in the city. My budget is low, and this guy is giving me a whole room for apps, like, next to nothing, like, compared to where I was living and what I was paying. to like living in that room, this the room that I was renting here, and like having the living room space, everything to myself, because he's a sportsman, he's usually not even here, and I used to have all the space to myself. I was like, no, I can't do that. And in my mind I was thinking, nah, you're doing me a favor. I feel like when guys do favors, they want something back. And I was
strings
like,
nope. Attached.
You know, he was like, no, I promise you, no strings attached. You can pay me every month, which I was like, if I do this, I can never miss a month of rent. Because I don't
want you making me, like, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, I spoke to my mom about it. I was like, mom, I met this guy, and he's letting me rent a room in his house. And my mom knew the situation about my singing, and my mom was like, oh, can you trust him? Is it like, you know, is he good? And at this point, I never told my mom anything about anything. I just said, he's a person that's renting a room, but he's a man, you know. And my friend at work, she was like, just take the room, maybe just do like a month and see how it goes. If you don't like it, you can always move out. So I was like, fine. I rented the room in his house. Literally, his room is here and my room is next door. And this guy, every morning, he would cook breakfast.
No.
We would have this girl, yes. And he's not doing that as if it's a new thing. Even when we were friends, when I would come to his house, he would cook, we would eat. So for him, he's just doing what he normally does. So he would cook breakfast and put it on the table. He's like, hey, are you awake? You want to come eat? And I'm like, oh my lord,
personal chef, okay.
I'm like, Lord Jesus, what is this? But you know, like, at the back of my mind, I still knew that I was leaving, and I'm not gonna let this all this get to my head. I'm like, I'm not gonna let this get to my head. He's just being sweet, and that's really nice, and I do love him. I have feelings, but my heart is already gone, but I'm still gonna leave. I'm not gonna change my plans and my mind, because you know, I've got it, you know, the Cupid has hit me for this man.
Right.
Yeah, so September comes and I move in. September, October, November, December is the month of my birthday. Thank you. It's the month of my birthday. But you know what? I'm leaving Asia. I'm going back to Europe. I want to do a little bit of traveling. So I'm going to go to Thailand for my birthday. And I was like, I'm going to go there by myself. I'm going to do a solo trip to Thailand for my birthday, because in 2 months, I'm going to move back. And this guy was like, you're going to do what? By your who? he was like, of course you're not gonna go to Thailand by yourself. That's so sad. Like, and you're just gonna go for your birthday all by yourself? I'm like, listen, I already got my ticket booked. I am going either way. And he said, well, I'm coming with you. I'm like, okay, if you want to, you can come. If he did come, and the whole time, literally, I swear to God, this guy was like helping me take pictures, and I guess he was feeling kind of sad too, because he knew that I was leaving soon. And I remember he said something to me. He's like, why do you think people do this? I said, do what? He was like, why do you think people meet the love of their life and still walk? I'm like, oh, I know what I'm becoming.
Wait, pause. But he asked you this question around that time?
Yes, he asked me that.
Did you understand what he was trying to say?
Well, I think I knew he was trying to talk. He's talking about me. He said, why are you doing this? He's talking to me, you know?
Okay.
Because, you know, there came a time where he had to stop, like, asking me, like, let's be together. He just stopped, you know? And I think that speaks volume of the kind of man he is. He didn't pester me, and he didn't start treating me mean because I was saying no for so long. He was just kind, even though I guess his heart was slightly broken, because I was saying no, and I was saying that I was leaving, and I had the ticket and all these things. He still maintained the person that he was when I met him. And I add, while this whole thing is happening, he was coming to church with me, because I invited him to my church. I had found a church at that time, and I invited him to church, and he was open to coming to church. And he's like, I believe in God for sure. Like, I'm not a non-believer. I just haven't been to church for a while. So his behavior and some of the things that I was like, no, about, those things were also changing as well throughout our friendship. So I have to mention that as well. And, you know, I would invite him to church and things like that, and that was all fine. So at this point in December, when he's like, why do you think people do this? And I was like, you know what, no, I walk by God's will. I don't do feelings. That's me. I don't care about feelings. I don't care about emotions and feelings. I walk by God's will. What God says, that's what I do. What God says I should go, that's where I go. I don't want anyone to talk to me.
Right.
Like, I really was so willing to sacrifice the beautiful thing that we had built. You know, we did build a really strong friendship, and I loved his personality. He was so kind, so generous, so serving, and I was like, oh gosh.
Nice.
But you know, it's like Abraham when he's that mountain to sacrifice his son. It's not he loves it. It's not like this is a wonderful thing.
Right.
He's just trusting God in this time of testing. Like, it's hard to do that. It's hard to love someone and still walk in God's will. It's hard to do that. And for me, that was really where I was. Like, I knew that I loved him. I knew that, oh, I really wanted guy, but I feel like if God hasn't said yes, I'm not doing it because I've done this before and it doesn't end well. And so we go to
I think I have a question, not to cut you off.
Yes.
Around that time, while you're saying this to yourself, like, I want to do the will of God, were you praying about it? Were you asking God to confirm, or were you just thinking to yourself?
Yeah, I just thought.
Okay.
Yeah, so what in my mind, I was still holding on to the prayer from Europe. So, and you know, that's another thing, like, we do as Christians, we can we limit God sometimes, like, we can limit God to our circumstance, to a time frame, to a time stamp. Like, God moves, God is moving with the time. God is moving with you with every with every stage of your life. He's
every
moving
season.
God moves in every season. He's not like he took you to China and stuck in Europe. No, God is moving. You know? And for me, I was like, because God told me to get out of my ex relationship, I don't think he wants me to get into another one. Do you get it? So that's why I never even prayed to God about this relationship. I just said, no, God just asked me to get out of a relationship and to transform my life. So I don't believe he's asking me to get into a relationship with you, who seems to not really be into like a church and into praying and stuff. So no, I didn't pray. And that's a huge part of this, because I feel like if I had prayed, maybe I would have had the confirmation sooner. And then, you know, there's no, it's just a beautiful story.
When it's like for you, God will try to, you know, like, this girl is hard-headed. I just have to do what I gotta do.
So exactly that. And I feel like, even though for my husband, bless him, it was a long time to pursue, I feel like God had a purpose for it to be that long, because God needed for his heart to transform for God, but God also needed for me to learn the lesson about limiting God, about not understanding that God moves with you in every season, and not taking every single day and every single situation. God needed it to go that long for me to learn that lesson. And I share that with my, you know, my friends and my followers today, like, ask God, please.
Yes.
Ask God.
Yes.
Just go to God. Go to God in prayer. Like, do it. And it comes, and I'm so grateful to God for having learned that lesson, because once I got into marriage, if I didn't
it came
know,
handy, right?
Yes, sis. If I didn't know that I need to go to God every day with every problem, with every question, with every heartache, with everything, I would have left my marriage a long time ago. So I'm telling you, like, everything has a purpose in God's eyes. And I say this to say, I wasn't walking in disobedience. And I think that's why it turns out so beautifully in the end. Because if I had, maybe it would be like very, very tragic at this time. So anyway, we came back from Thailand, right? We came back from Thailand, and now I'm really getting ready to leave. And it's December, it's around Christmas time. His whole family live in America. So every year he goes back home like 3 to 4 times. And that was like December, so he had to go home for Christmas. Now, I don't have family in China. I can't go home because I'm leaving in 2 months. So it makes no sense for me to go home for Christmas.
Right.
And I can't, what else couldn't I? Then there was something where I just couldn't be part of, I wasn't in church. I wasn't at church at that time. I don't know, something happened where I wasn't part of a church community December 2019, and I was by myself. I was alone, basically.
Right. Christmas, so you were not like involved in the church?
No, because I hadn't found this church, my home church that I'm at right now. I had visited I had visited a church, I think, in that time, but I hadn't found the church that I'm at right now at that time. So like any Christmas programs or anything like that, I wasn't involved. Anyway, my husband, he had to go back to his family and be there for Christmas. And I remember I remember very, very clearly, like this I remember perfectly, because at that time, I'm not even gonna lie, like I loved him. I loved him. And it was so hard because, you know, my heart, I love
the
him.
The issue of the heart.
Yes, I was like, I love him, but I'm gonna leave him. And it's like, it hurts, you know. And, you know, he just looked at me and he said to me, I remember we were both sitting together on the bed. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm not even gonna pretend. We sat together. We used to, at that time, I think it was like, we both know that we love each other, but unfortunately, we can't be together. But seeing as we have a few months left, let's just enjoy each other's presence and company. Right. And that was the day he was leaving to go to the US. And we sat together and he said to me, you know what? I have a question to ask you. And I said, okay, what? You know, I said, don't ask me any crazy questions now. And he said,
no, wait, okay, I'm getting too excited. Okay, go ahead.
My life is like a Nollywood film, legit.
I'm literally feeling like a question.
Yeah, he asked me a question. He said, what if I ask you to marry me? I said, no.
Oh my God. Okay.
That was me. I said, no, don't ask me that. I don't think you've ever seen anything like it. I sat next to you. I was like, why would you ask me that?
Why?
I'm like, why? Why would you ask me? Don't ask me that. Because in my heart, I was so afraid to say no. Like, I didn't want to have to verbally say no, you know?
You didn't want to say no, but then you didn't want to say yes.
Yeah, I felt like I couldn't say yes, but I really, really didn't want to say no. So I'm like, if you ask me, you're putting me in a position where I have to say no. And I don't want to say no. Don't ask me. I wanted it to be a thing where we could have had a really, really good love, but we didn't, and we parted ways, and it was a beautiful story that never happened.
Like a Titanic type of moment.
Yeah, I would have preferred it to be that way than for you to ask me a whole question.
Right.
And then me having to answer, I was like, no, don't ask me. He said, well, I'm not asking you right now to give me an answer, but I'm saying, and he said, what if I really did ask you that question? I'm like, I don't want to think about that. Why would you ask me that? You know my situation, you know I have to leave, and all of my questions, all my excuses, and all my excuses, everything coming up. And he's like, calm down. I'm not asking you right now. I'm not asking you to tell me the answer right now. I was like, oh my God, did you just ask me to marry? He's like, no. I said, what if I did? anyways, of course I didn't have to say yes or no at that point. And the next morning, I went to the US. And I stayed here in this whole China by myself for Christmas. It was the 27th of December. And I remember just being so sad and lonely and alone. I miss my family. Like, I come from a Congolese family. Christmas time is party for 3 weeks straight. And I was here by myself.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what am I going to do at this time? And in that moment, I knew. As soon as he said those words to me and he left and I was by myself, I was like, ask God. Are you going to ask God?
Right. It's like you woke up. Good job.
Yes. I was like, are you ever going to actually, you keep talking about God's will, but you never ask him. And I was like, oh my Lord, I didn't ask God about this. And I was like, I never prayed about this. I never asked God like to reveal this guy's heart to me. I never asked God if this guy was the one for me. I never
right.
told my mother about this guy. I just spoke. I remember there was one friend, like my Paris, the one who I was going to live with, who I was talking to about this whole thing. And I was like, you didn't even tell your mother about this. And because he mentioned marriage, and straight away in my head, I'm like, you can't just make a decision by yourself, for sure not. And then I was like, oh yeah, I guess I'll pray about this. And it was like, and it was 23rd of December. And I remember deciding at that point, I'm going to fast for the rest of the year. So for the next seven, 8 days of the year to close the year, I'm just going to fast and pray because I need God. The same way he told me, yes, leave Europe, go to China. And he answered my prayer within a week and he gave me the job. He gave me everything. And he said,
right.
So I said to God, I need you the same way you did it. Back in 2017 or whatever year it was, 2019, I need you to do it now. I need you to tell me. It was the same year, right? Like, I was like, oh yeah, it was the same year. So I had just moved. So the same way he did it in 2018, I want you to do it now in December 2019 and tell me, is this man for real? Am I to do this with him? Because I'm really scared. I'm like,
right.
No one has ever asked me to marry them before. This is really crazy to me.
Right.
I'm only 20 something and I don't know. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. And then I finally told my mom about it. I said, Mom. And my mom, bless her, she was like, what? I'm like, you remember I told you I met this guy? Because my husband is Jamaican American. So do you remember I told you I met this Jamaican man? And she said, yeah. And I said, remember, so he's the one that let me rent the room. She's like, oh, yeah. I was like, I think he just kind of asked me to marry him.
What was your mom's reaction?
My mom was like, what? Olobinini?
Typical. It's like they don't hear the first time when something is shocking.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. She was like, Olobinini? I was like, no, seriously. My mom was like, what do you mean? I said, me too, I don't know. And I was like, he's not even here, he's gone. Mom was like, what do you mean? Then I told my mom the whole story. And you know, my mom, she was the first person to tell me, don't go to China. Don't go to China. Why do you want to go to China? You know, she was telling me like, if you don't like your job, just get a new job. I was like, I love my job. I'm not going to China because I don't like my job. You know, my mom, she didn't get it at the time. And then like, I told her about this man and my mom was like, well, what can we do? We just have to pray about it. I was like, oh my God. I'm really praying about this because in my head it's just been no for 9 months, even though I loved him, even though I had feelings for him. But now I really have to tell him it's gonna be a definite no or it's gonna be a yes. And girl, I kid you not, the very first day of my fast, so I was fasting food and I was fasting drink, but I was still doing like live worship sessions on my Instagram because at that time I was making lots and lots of videos, so I would always go live on Instagram. And I remember waking up, getting ready, did my makeup, everything, and I was like, okay, time to go live. And as soon as I went on my Instagram, like, I follow a lot of pages, but this one page that I follow, it's like singles, you know, single girls and Christian girls, and, you know, the very first thing I saw on my screen was, the man that God has for you may not come in the package that you desire, but he's the one that's going to bring you everything your heart desires. That's the first post that I saw the very first day of my fast.
Wow.
Okay, I was like, I was like, this is not okay. Listen, at this point, I don't take anything to be coincidental anymore.
Right.
Because the way God speaks to me is crazy. Anyway, I took a screenshot. I took a screenshot of that with the date and the timestamp, everything. I was like, if this is God telling me, because, you know, my whole thing the whole while with my husband was like, oh, he's not a Christian, or he's not a church person.
Mm.
He's not, you know, he's not a pastor. He's not a man.
Mm. Right.
And that was like the first, sign that, like, I guess God gave to me, like, to tell me, renew your mind. Like, stop thinking, stop thinking like this, you know. It was like your mind. You can't be of God and think in a limited way. God can get even a drug. God can give you even a drug dealer, because in His plan, that's the man that you need. First of all, for me and my husband, I realized, and my husband used to say to me, "Do you know that God brought you in my life so that He can bring me closer to Him?"
That's so
and
cute.
I would say. And in the beginning, I was like, well, maybe that's all God brought me in your life for. Like, why do you think that it has to develop into something bigger than that? Like, maybe my purpose in your life is just to bring you back to God, because I really did help him to go back into the rhythm and find his relationship with God again and build that. And just, it's just beautiful. It's so beautiful to see the way the growth my husband has made over the past 4 years from when I met him until now. It's like, it's a testimony, you know? And it's and God said that to me, you know, the man that I have for you may not come in the package that you always dreamt, but he is the one that was going to bring you all of your the desires of your heart. And for the rest of the year, I just fasted. And by the end of day one, my heart softened for this man, and I have never missed him so much in my life. Hey, I was thinking about him every second of the day. I was almost waiting for him to come back. I was
that
sending him
so
like,
cute.
You should have seen my Merry Christmas message. She was like, Merry Christmas. May God bless you. May God be with you. And you know, the whole time we were together, I really refrained from sending any like sentimental, emotional messages to him. He's like my brother in Christ, you know, and I was sending him like, oh, you're such a wonderful man.
Oh, wow.
You're a wonderful human being. And you're just, I just wish you a wonderful Christmas with your family.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't tell him at the time that, you know, I'm not going to leave. I can't leave. I'm not going to do it. And I knew it was a yes. Like in my heart, I had a peace and I couldn't wait. I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, come back. And I told my mom. My mom was like, I've been praying and I just have peace. And all of the doubts that I had, the little icky things that I was worried about, my mom really helped me to see, you know, to see clearly what was, you know, to help me to clear some of the doubts and the questions I had in my mind and my heart about, you know, like marriage, the kind of husband that I ever wanted to have and things. My mom was like, you're my mom. She's mature. So she knew, she's had the experience. So she was like, you know, like, listen, in this life, if you meet somebody who loves you, you meet somebody who cares for you, and you meet someone who is there to grow and change and, you know, mature into the person that you deserve, you cannot walk away from anything. And that was my mother's words, and I was like, raw, the pressure is getting At that point, I was like, yeah, I can't wait for him to come back because it's a yes for me. And I had decided, you know, before my husband even came back from the US, that I can't not be with this man. Like, I want to be with him. And at that point, I said yes to him before he came back. So when he came back, I was like, you know that question you asked me?
Ooh.
When you're ready, can you ask me again? He's right here in the room as well. God, babe, can you go? Can you go, please? Bye.
Oh my God, you did not.
I so did. I was like, oh, babe, you know that question you asked me about a week ago?
Oh my
Because,
goodness.
You know, yeah, he was in the U.S. for 7 days, I remember, 6 days, I don't know. He went on the 23rd and he came back on the 31st because he didn't want me to have New Year's Day.
Wait. Hold up. Wait a minute. So all this time, like, you're dying, like, you missed this guy. It was only for 7 days.
Girl, yes, it felt like a month.
I'm here like, okay, he came back in February or okay.
No, well,
that's good.
That's God's word, because my own mind, I was like, yo, I did see this guy a lot. Like, I did see him a lot. And I can't say, like, I ever really felt like, oh my God, I really miss him. Like, I just want to talk to him, because I really taught myself how to block my feelings, how to block my emotions. I really taught myself how to be like, you know what? I love you, but I'm going to walk away from this and it's fine. God has my back, you know?
Right.
But I think as soon as I took it to God and God said yes, all the walls came down and I realized.
So beautiful. Oh, it's like your eyes, like all the scales from your eyes falls down. Yeah, you see things now clearly. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was like, I want to be with him. I want him to come back and ask me again. And I remember there was a picture of him that
I had on my phone.
And I had put it as my, can you imagine?
God, the kid, no, wait. You did not put it as this crazy.
Why are you reading my mind?
Girl, it's all like, I'm telling you, our stories are similar. You did.
It's too funny. I didn't just put it on my screensaver, but I put like the ring emoji on the picture and I wrote, it's a yes. And I put it on my screensaver. Before he came back, I was like, it's a yes. I put the like engagement ring emoji and I was like, yes, ask me again, it's a yes. And I put it on my screensaver and I couldn't wait for him to come back.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, girl.
And so beautiful.
Anyway, that's how it happened. Can you imagine? It's a story and a half. And I say this story in my heart. My heart is full of joy because I'm glad that I didn't just make this decision myself. Whether it was a yes or a no, I didn't just make it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I love it because now
it's so beautiful.
Yeah. 2 years in, I see every single day why this guy is my purpose partner, why it's with him that I need to do my life, especially here in China. Like, you know, together, like, I have a heart for people. I love helping people. I love being there for people. And my husband is the most selfless, the most great. Like, he is so, oh, I tell you, when
amazing
for the ministry that God has called me to do, if it's whether it's my singing or it's my like charity work or like just like being a person for the people, my husband is the perfect person to do that with, because he, you know, he just like, if I'm like, babe, there's this person we need to help, he's like, let's go.
It
like,
fits perfectly.
Yeah, I'm like, there's this money we need to give. He's like, how much? Let's go. Like, he has such a giving heart too. And it's like, God knew, like, that in this time in Beijing, there would be a need for a couple like ours.
Right.
So we can be there for the people that need this kind of home, this love, this family.
Right.
And oh, it's beautiful. And
that your story is like a true definition of God's will. Like, you know, it's crazy. It's so beautiful. And I will be waiting for the movie, okay? Or the book or whatever that you would decide to do. It's so beautiful and pure. And that all, it's crazy how now when you look at the end of this, well, not the end, but the beginning of your love story now.
The beginning, yeah.
You see, it was just one thing that you had to do. Just one thing. Yeah. Be obedient to God's will. You know, that just one thing. And what I love about the process is that it wasn't perfect all the time. Like, you said yes to God, but then still along the way, you still had some of these things that all Christians do. You think that, mm-hmm. okay, God spoke to me on Monday. Now I'm familiar mm-hmm. with God. I don't mm-hmm. need to talk to him on Wednesday because I already Again. Spoke to him. You
Come
see?
On.
So hey. It's like, I love the fact that you said we have to constantly, you know, keep God in the conversation because God moves with our season. Yeah. You know, yeah, what he asked of you, in order for him to accomplish what he needs to accomplish at the end of the day, it will require more than just saying yes. Like, you have to pay attention. You have to all these things. And that's why I always tell people, marriage, specifically this subject, it's not for little children. Because one little mistake, you could ruin your life. Because this is a lifetime choice that you make, you know. I absolutely love your story, but like I think most the question that I have is that for someone that's listening to this and they don't have a thought of getting married like I wasn't thinking about it, but they definitely do want to get married and the pressure of the family's on, what do you tell that person?
Listen, I want to say this. If you get married because family pressure or societal pressure, once you're in that marriage, your family is not going to be there with you. Society is not going to be there with you. And I'm telling you, if you are not taking your time to really learn this person before you say yes, because you see, I believe that the Bible asks us, the Bible actually says it verbatim, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. If you say yes, you have to keep on saying yes every single day of your life with that person. Do you understand? Before you say your yes, before you give your yes to somebody, you need to make sure that I'm saying yes today and I'll say yes tomorrow, even when you mess up, I'm still going to keep saying yes. So if you're saying yes because your mom is saying you're getting too old, or the society is saying that you're over 25, you need to understand that your yes is quickly going to turn into a no when you see the reality of life with that person. Do not get married. Do not get married if, one, you are not sure of the person that you're with, them being the one. Like I told you with my story, for me to say yes to my husband, I had to shift from a place of uncertainty to a place of yes, this is the one.
Right.
And because I didn't say yes until I was so sure. Do you understand? It's like, because I am so sure, God has said yes to me. Even when it gets so hard inside my home, my yes will stay yes.
Will stay yes, yeah.
You know, it's like, I hear that there is trouble, there is pressure out there, and there is people looking at you, and there is this trend of everyone getting married. But please, don't fall into it. Don't fall into it. If you're dating a guy right now and you're not too sure, take your time. Take your time, because trust me, it's okay to call off 5-6 different relationships, even 5-6 different engagements, but to get into a marriage and be like, nope, I don't want to do this with you. So please take your time.
And I think that our generation need to, like, for me, I would say, okay, if you feel pressure on Instagram, disconnect your Instagram. If you feel like your friends, everybody's just on your, like, just tell them, okay, be straight up, like, okay, can you not talk to me about this? Can you not pressure me respectfully about it? Because once you get into the marriage, we're not saying like marriage is like always like, you know, it's hard, it's only bad times, it's just like, you know, but it's a reality, you know, it's a reality. And in the reality, there are ups and there are downs. And I love the fact that you said your yes will always be yes. Even when the storm comes and knocks at the door, it comes and then messes everything up. But because your yes was your yes, you would remain there. You will fight with God. God will fight for you, and you will go to through it with God.
Yes.
This is something that we absolutely need to bring the message out there, because a lot of people, I know some people that have been into a marriage, and mm-hmm. unfortunately it was because of pressure, family yeah. pressuring the guy or the boy. And mm-hmm. especially when, like, your older brother or your little sisters, let's say your little sister got married, and now you're the mm-hmm. The elder. Now everybody's mm-hmm. looking at you. Even that, don't give in. You know, don't give in mm-hmm. to that kind of don't pressure. Give in.
Yeah.
That is crazy. And I think when we were talking about in the beginning, we're like, we're still hanging out. We're not giving a bad advertisement of marriage.
No. Yeah, I can clarify about that.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I wanted to bring it out because it's not like you definitely we heard your story. It's like a love story. It's like every mm-hmm. girl will pray to God to have something similar or something like yours. But it's just like there are ups and downs. There are especially personalities. Like I said, I have like my own circle. I got my own bubble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. when you have to share your space with somebody else, mm-hmm. you're just like, okay. Mm. Yeah. I have to stay it's calm.
Yeah, girl. It's I true. And I mean, I have to say that, you know, think about marriage. Like, I think I gave one example on my story last time we did a marriage Q&A. I said, think of a baby. Like, when a little baby is born, they learn to walk. Sometimes they fall down. That doesn't mean that they can't walk, that they will mm-hmm. never be able to. And after that, when they learn to walk, and one day they're going up the stairs and they trip and fall, that doesn't mean they don't know how to walk. That just means they took a misstep and they have to be careful next time. They have to, you know, pay attention next time. It's the same with in the beginning. We're all babies, and I think you and I, we're both in the beginning of our marriage. Even if mm-hmm. you're 4 years, I'm 2 years, we're still learning. And with my husband, so you know, me and my husband have known each other for as long as you probably known and been married to your husband, so mm-hmm. it's really not like, if you think about it, it's not a long time to know someone, but right. in marriage terms, if you've been married and those first couple of years and you're still holding on, trust me. And when I say holding on, it's because that's when you start to discover, like you say, the personality differences. For me and my husband is the cultural differences. You know, yeah. we come from completely different places, completely different worlds. Mm. You know, we have a difference in age and everything like that. So it's so many different things. And it's like, we are learning each other. We are learning right. each other. And while you're doing that, you need to understand that it's not going to be easy. That's right. when I say marriage is not easy. It's from the perspective of learning each other and learning the differences and finding out, okay, how can we deal with this? How can we right. deal with that? And it's so, like, so many days you really want to say, no, I don't want to deal with it. Do you right. understand?
Mm-hmm.
And the world tells us that.
Right, and I think it's so important as well to have a friendship. And you see how you and your husband, you guys had a solid friendship before. So that is so important as well to develop a friendship, mm-hmm. even if you didn't get a chance, like some of us. You didn't get a chance to really be friendly. Yeah. It was just like, be my fab. It's important to develop that friendship as well in the marriage, which mm-hmm. will come in handy. Sometimes you just mm-hmm. want to talk to your friend, because once you get married, you will begin to see the reality of life, like friends begin to show the real face.
Mm-hmm,
oh God, you start losing friends, you start losing people around, you start seeing the real faces. And so mm-hmm. at one point you just need to talk to a friend, and if your husband is your friend, mm-hmm. perfect there, you know. So I have a question for you. It's tricky. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do it quickly because I know the time is going, you have to leave, but what about if someone has been married, okay? Think about a young girl who is married, but she knows in her marriage that she made a mistake and like nothing is working out. She knows she's making a mistake. She's not happy. It's not the person she thought because he gave a certain image. And now, what can she do?
Wow. You know tough. What?
Dr. Love, tell us.
It is so tough, but I have to say, you know, the Bible says that an unbeliever and a believer, like the Bible tells us not to marry outside of our race. And I think for us Christians, it just means outside of our faith, right?
Right.
But the Bible says that a believer and an unbeliever can be married. And if you choose to love that person, you know, because one of you, and I'm not saying that in this case, the other person is not a Christian, but I feel like if a Christian marries another Christian, but that Christian doesn't exhibit the characteristics of a Christian, right. that's not, I feel like that's not reason enough. Mm-hmm. That's not reason enough to like not be like married to that person anymore. But also, if you marry them fully knowing that they're unbeliever, the Bible does not condone for you to divorce that person. That's for one. Mm-hmm. And I always go by what the Bible says, okay? The Bible says that divorce is only condoned in case of adultery. If somebody mm-hmm. commits adultery, you have a choice. It's not even like you must divorce them. Right. You have a choice. You have a choice to divorce that person. But if you choose to forgive them, then you must forgive them and move on. So I have to say, I hate to say it because it sounds like it's contrary to what the world says, but the Bible also says in Romans 12:2 that we should not be conformed to the pattern of the world, and we need to right. be transformed by renewing our mind.
So, yeah.
Exactly. And I think the person who feels like they are the one who made a mistake and they're with the wrong person and it's not working and they're unhappy, they need to renew their mind. What does that mean? How does a person renew their mind? We have just recently done like a devotional about this, and it's really good because it teaches us that renewing our mind is not just waking up and saying, oh, you know what? No, I'm happy, even though you're not. But what does the Bible say? What is God's promise for you? God promises for us to live in a life of abundance and to have joy and have it in abundance, right? To have life and have life in peace and abundance. So that's the truth that the Bible says to me. That's the truth of God's promise for my life. And that's the point of view that I'm going to have. If today my marriage is not reflecting that, that doesn't make God's word, doesn't mean that God lied when he said that. You as a woman, as a wife, if you're in a marriage where your heart is breaking every single day because your man is just not, he's just not giving husband, well, you're not gonna end your marriage. You're not gonna do that because your yes was your yes and your yes has to be your yes. The Bible says that a virtuous woman is the one who builds her home. And a long time ago, I used to think that being a virtuous woman is the one that cleans and is respectful to her husband and no. But yes, as much as that is virtuous, it is also virtuous to cover and to carry the burden.
Right.
And nobody's gonna tell you this. Nobody's gonna tell you this because everyone says, no, a man is supposed to be the leader. A man is supposed to be the protector. A man is supposed to be, you know what? Like I told you, when I met my husband, I felt like God was bringing me to bring him back to God. It is also true that if a woman decides to marry a man before she has taken enough time to discern this person, it might be now that is her cross, and she has to carry that cross. And she's gonna because at the end of the day, I'm not preaching staying in an abusive marriage where I really truly believe in the power, like in separating when you're in a marriage where it's abusive physically, mentally,
when your life is threatened.
When your life is threatened, I think there's no place in the Bible where it says that you need to, you know, stay there and be hit and stuff. But I'm talking about behavioral issues. I'm talking about communication issues. I'm talking about even them lacking in affection, tenderness, all those things that make for a sweet marriage. If you went into the marriage believing that this is the right person, I promise you, your steadfastness, your faithfulness, your love, your joy, your belief, and your trust in God can really transform your marriage. I promise you. I promise you. And I'm saying that because I'm living proof of, I'm not saying that I've had a terrible marriage, but I'm telling you, the first 2 years of my marriage have not been a walk in the park. They really haven't.
Yeah.
And that's on God. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's not a walk in the park. And one thing we need to understand is that the enemy really hates marriage. There's so many reasons for that. Spiritual reasons for that, there's societal, scientific, so many reasons for why marriage is just not good in the enemy's realm. Because when parents are together, children flourish. When children flourish, generations flourish. What does the enemy want for there to be complete discord? The Bible says that the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the enemy does not want us to live in peace. He doesn't want our generations and generations to be good. He wants us to be traumatized. He wants our children to be raised by single moms and single dads so that they could be delinquent in the street. That's what the enemy wants. So when a marriage is working, that's the enemy's
worst. It's a threat. Like,
do you understand? Yeah, it's a threat to him. So as a woman of God, when you're in your marriage and it's not working and you feel like, I'm not happy, I made a mistake, I'm telling you, the virtuousness of the virtue that the Bible speaks of is going to come at the way you look. If you look at your partner as the issue, then that's it, you've already lost.
Right.
But if you look at the enemy's plan as the issue, like my husband, and I'm not saying like everybody's behavior is because of the enemy, but the ultimate person who brings evil and destruction in our lives is the enemy.
Right.
And people need to open their eyes to spiritual warfare in marriage. That is a real thing.
Like, it's a real thing.
Generational cycles and bondages and all the things that our parents and our mothers and our fathers have suffered, it's real. And the enemy wants to carry that through to our time. But I'm telling you that a woman who stands up in prayer and looks at her husband as the partner that she chose, as the cross she chose to carry, and then looks at the enemy as a person who is trying to come and divide them, there is no qualm, there's no quarrel in the marriage that can separate them, except for like life or something like that, for sure. And that's my view, that's my perspective on it, you know. I saw somewhere where it says like, it's never gonna be 100-100 all the time. Some days it's gonna be 60-40, some days it might even be 99.
I think it was Michelle Obama. Marriage is never 50-50. Never 50-50.
You know, and it's like, let's endure the hard times, because I promise you, if this person chose you and they still need, and I'm saying this from a Christian perspective, and I'm speaking to Christian marriages of young people, if in your marriage your husband or your wife is not behaving like the wife that you would want them to, please understand that the enemy has a plan. He doesn't want marriages. He doesn't want marriages. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your husband. Pray for your heart. Pray that God can help you to transform your mind. So look at your partner as an issue. You don't look at your choice and your decision as an issue. You look at the enemy. You say, what's the issue? Why is it that my marriage can't work? Why is it, if my marriage works, how does the enemy lose? And then you understand why there's so much like fight and battle against your marriage. And I say all this, and I still say it's so hard. And that's from the spiritual perspective, but the physical side of it, the psychological side of it, comes to, you need to have an outlet. You can't just, you know, and I don't subscribe to this, don't talk about your marriage to anybody. What goes on in your home stays in your home.
I think
definitely avoid talking about your husband to your family and your friends. But get a therapist.
I think that's why, especially in the like Black community, or let's say Congolese community, it's like a taboo. It's like something of, you know, to be ashamed of having a therapist. But it's so important. I'd rather take a therapist than go to my friend and tell them, look, he said this, I did this, you know. It's easier that way. And I saw a film, like, I think it was a movie, I forgot the name of it, but this lady, she was over. She was fed up with whatever that was going on in her marriage. She was so upset, and she went outside. She opened the door and she said, "The enemy, you have no place in this house."
War room.
That's
the one. I love
it. You have no place in this house. And to take the authority that way is what we must do always. I love what you said. It's not your husband, your enemy. The enemy, we only have one enemy. If you know him, you know him. You go after him and that's it. Your husband is not your enemy. And that was so beautiful. I hope if there's any other questions, you guys can just send questions and Miss Devine will answer you guys. I'll send her all your questions. But this has been going. I didn't even realize for like past an hour. Okay, so last thing.
Yeah.
We're both married. So in probably married people will relate to. What is your pet peeve? I'll begin. Okay. My pet peeve in my home. My pet peeve in my home is the toilet seat when it stays up. Yeah, I hate that. Why do they always leave the toilet seat up?
I don't know.
Annoying. What is your pet peeve in the house?
Mine is like having things that you don't need all over the place. I'm like, brain doesn't like too much input. So for me, I want my husband to only have like 5 pieces of paper, 1 pen, and he has 1,500 pieces of paper, 1,000 pens, and I'm like, do you need all this? Like, why is this here? You know, why do you have 2 of this? Why do you need that? But you know, in the beginning, it was a real issue for me. And it comes down to control. It's like, you know what? I know you don't like it, but this is your space together. And you can ask him 1,500 times. If he doesn't do it, just leave it. Just accept it as part of them and just leave it. So that's my pet peeve. Like, just things. I don't like things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you see something like that, it's best to just listen. Okay, let's talk about this. You know, I don't like this. Because down to 5 years, if you don't address that one thing that is frustrating you, it could cause like a big chaos later on. Yeah. So communication in the marriage is like key.
Very important.
It's the key. It's very important.
I feel like we should definitely have another talk about communication in marriage completely separate to the whole thing. Because trust me, that's the biggest downfall of many, many marriages, especially in our time. Because we live in such a generation where it's like, my way or no way, like, listen to my feelings, you're hurting my feelings, my emotions.
Right.
Emotions. Like, we need to be able to communicate effectively in our marriages because men and women, we don't communicate the same, we don't process the same,
We don't work the same. We were made the same. So it's like, imagine that in one house. So if you don't make the right choice, it's over for you.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, I absolutely love this conversation. If you ever have time and you want to come back to continue on our conversation, just hit me up. We'll do it. Thank you again
For sure. I feel like we should definitely do like a marriage series and talk about different things.
Girl, I am
like, I feel like it's so necessary. I get so many questions about marriage from young girls on my Instagram. It's like, unfortunately, I don't know, like, our mothers are still not having conversations with us. Or maybe they are, but they're coming from a toxic place.
Right.
I feel like us as young people, we just need to open up this floor and talk about it. Even if we're married or not married, we just need to talk about marriage in a young girl's, Christian girl's home and what's happening, how to do it, and all of that.
I think that should be a live so we could get like people, real people to come in to ask questions. We'll plan whenever you're free. But
thank you so much.
Was such refreshing. It was so good to have this conversation. Thank you again so much. I'm looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you.
Say hi to Mr. I didn't even get his name.
his name's Natural.
Sorry?
Natural.
Natural. Like, natural. Oh, nice. Yes. Okay, so that's how it happened. So naturally. Okay.
Naturally, yes. It happened so naturally. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you again so much. I'll talk to you next time. Thank you guys for listening to TSG Podcast. Subscribe to our channel and share this podcast, and I'm sure it's gonna bless someone. God bless you guys. You. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.